Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Cozy traditions feel good, and that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want, choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When the body of 23-year-old Kata Scott was found behind an abandoned school in the Germantown section of Philadelphia, the city exhaled, not in relief, but in resignation. What they feared had been confirmed. The search was over. The grief was just beginning. And the questions, the ones that had been simmering since the moment she disappeared, now boiled over. Let's be clear, Kata didn't vanish into some vast unknown. She didn't walk away from her life. She didn't just fall through the cracks. She was taken. And the man now sitting in jail, charged with kidnapping and stalking her, a 21-year-old named Keon King, had already shown the city exactly what he was capable of. They just didn't stop him in time. This isn't the story about a stranger in the night. This is a story about missed opportunities, willful blindness, and the kind of quiet bureaucratic failure that allows predators to keep hunting. And guess what? It's happening in Philadelphia. Woo, shocker there. Woo, wow. Don't hear about stories like that anymore in Philadelphia, like Ellen Greenberg or anything. This is a story about what happens when the system sees warning signs and shrugs. Let's walk it back. Kata Scott left work on the night of October 4th, 2025. She worked the overnight shift in an assisted living facility in Chestnut Hill. She was a well-liked, dependable, and loved person. She loved her job. She told friends and family that she had been receiving threatening calls in the days before her disappearance, that she was being harassed, that she was scared. But she still went to work. She still showed up because that's what people like Kata do. They keep going. She was last seen around 9:45 p.m. Her car was still in the parking lot, her phone silent. Her friends and family began looking for her immediately. Her loved ones didn't wait 24 hours. They knew something was wrong. But knowing something's wrong doesn't always mean the system will treat it like something is. The Philadelphia Police Department opened a missing persons case. Investigators began canvassing the area, and they found something disturbing. Surveillance footage, phone records, evidence that suggested someone had been watching Kata, following her, and had possibly done so before. That someone, police say, was Keon King. Now, King wasn't some mystery figure. He wasn't an unknown suspect who appeared out of nowhere. He was already on the radar of law enforcement, and not for a minor offense. Earlier in 2025, this very year, King had been arrested and charged with violent kidnapping. Surveillance video from that earlier case shows a man, King, prosecutors say, stalking a younger woman, watching her from outside her home, knocking on her windows, and eventually assaulting her. That case had video evidence, it had a pattern, and it had a victim. But it didn't have a conviction, because the victim never showed up in court, and the case was dropped. District Attorney Larry Krasner now says that decision was a mistake. You think, Larry? You think? Might have been a mistake.
Victim doesn't show up. Well, F her. He's a free man.
Not thinking, gee, maybe she didn't show up in court because you guys can't get your shit together half the time, and maybe it was a higher risk for her to show up in court than you guys actually protecting her. Maybe that's why she didn't show up. But no, you thought, oh, let's let him go free. He only kidnapped someone. That's all. In a public statement, he said, we could have done better. He's not wrong. And you shouldn't have a job. Because just months after that case fell apart, Kata Scott was gone and now she's dead. That's a straight line that can't be ignored. This isn't a story of randomness. It's a story of repetition, a story of escalation, and a story of Philadelphia not having their shit together. 2 weeks after Kata disappeared, investigators followed a lead to an overgrown back lot of an old Ida H. Lewis Middle School, long abandoned property in Germantown that had become a dumping ground for debris, neglect, and now heartbreak. Behind the school, in a shallow grave, they found human remains. Nearby, they found a phone case, a pair of glasses, a card with Kata Scott's name on it. And now we know. The remains have been confirmed. DNA analysis has shown a match with Kata's parents. This isn't a speculated recovery. It's definitive. Kata Scott has been found. And her family now has to carry that knowledge for the rest of their lives. But the investigation didn't stop with the discovery of her body. King, already charged with kidnapping and stalking, is now facing a mountain of additional charges. According to court filings, he's been charged with arson, causing a catastrophe, criminal conspiracy, tampering with evidence, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and receiving stolen property. Here's what prosecutors are now saying. The vehicle connected to the case, originally described as a 1999 gold Toyota Camry, has been confirmed as a stolen 2008 Hyundai Accent. Good matching. Investigators believe this is the car used to transport Kata's body, and they say it was intentionally destroyed to cover the crime. How? Well, first it was allegedly set on fire. Then it was towed. Finally, it was compacted, crushed at the scrapyard before a full forensic workup could be completed. It wasn't panic. It wasn't heat-of-the-moment decision. It was destruction, erasure, a deliberate attempt to eliminate evidence. And that's why prosecutors are calling this a catastrophe, not just in emotional terms, but in legal ones. A catastrophe in forensic accountability, a catastrophe in investigative clarity, a catastrophe in justice delayed. What's worse? Prosecutors believe King didn't do this alone. They've now filed conspiracy charges, which means they believe someone else helped him. Someone else was involved in either the transport, the disposal, the cover-up, or all the above. Who is that? Well, they haven't said yet, but they made it clear. This wasn't a one-man operation. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia School District, which owns the abandoned property where Kata's body was found, is now under public scrutiny. That site had been neglected for years. No cameras, no security, no fencing, just a forgotten property waiting to be misused. And surprise, it was. The school district has since announced that it is reviewing its protocols for how vacant properties are managed. It's the right move, but it's the kind of move that always comes after the fact. Kata didn't die because of a school building, but she was left in one, and that matters. And now the medical examiner has not released an official cause of death. That means homicide charges haven't yet been filed, but District Attorney Krasner says they are coming, that once the Emmy's report is complete, murder charges will be added. Let's pause here because the language matters. Kata's family already knows how she died. Emotionally, spiritually, they've already buried her. They may not have had a funeral yet. They may not have had the official language, but they know how. And deep down, so do we. We know this wasn't natural. We know this wasn't an accident. And we know this wasn't isolated. Because here's the deeper truth that's emerging. Kata Scott wasn't just a victim of one man's actions. She was a victim of a system that ignored the red flags, minimized the threats, and failed to act when it had a chance. And the DA's like, whoopsie, we could have done better. Yeah, we could have. Maybe there should be some consequences for you, Mr. DA, now that you've admitted the fault. I don't know. Maybe something should happen. That earlier case against King, it wasn't some flimsy allegation. It had surveillance video. It wasn't a he said, she said. You had the evidence of a monster and you said, whoops. It had a clear pattern of stalking and still it fell apart. Why? Because one witness didn't appear. That's not justice. That's fragility and ignorance. The criminal justice system is supposed to protect people, especially when you have tangible evidence, you fucking idiot. But in this case, it protected the wrong person. It protected the person who was watching, the person who was waiting, the person who, when he got another chance, took it. The DA, well, should have done better. I'll give you credit that you even said anything, because most of you DAs just go hide behind your fucking curtain. And continue to go forward. So thank you for saying that aloud. But now that you've said that aloud and you've admitted your fault, step down. Step the fuck down and go take a job at a defunct family video, because that's about what you're qualified for, you piece of shit. That's the part that should shake you, because Kata did everything right. She went to work. She told people she was being harassed. She tried to stay safe, and still, she ended up in a grave behind a school. We have to stop pretending that these are just sad stories. They're not just tragedies. They are indictments. The case is now growing. Investigators are still collecting evidence. They're interviewing new witnesses. They're tracking digital data, surveillance footage, cell phone pings, tower records, scrapyard logs, all of it. And as they work, prosecutors are building the case, not just against King, but possibly against others. Conspiracy charges don't come out of nowhere. And in Philadelphia, this isn't a word they use casually. There's a lot of unanswered questions. Who helped him? When did they help? Was this planned in advance? Did he lure her or force her? What happens in those final hours? And what do we still not know? But even as those questions remain, one thing is already clear. The failure to prosecute King the first time cost a woman her life. And I've said it in other cases, I don't know anyone that protects predators other than predators. It's not a hypothetical. There's a pattern of behavior here, a timeline, a missed opportunity, a body in a grave, and now a family left holding the pieces. Kata's parents, Kevin and Kim, have spoken publicly about their daughter, about her strength, about her love for caregiving, about how she never missed work, about how they just want justice. You can hear the quiet in their voices, the kind of quiet that happens when your entire world collapses and you still have to speak anyway. It's impossible to imagine what they're carrying, but it's not hard to understand what they want. Accountability, transparency, justice that doesn't come two steps too late. Philadelphia is a city that has known loss. But But this one hits differently. This one had warning signs. This one had a map, and still, here we are. So what happens next? King remains in custody. His bail stands at $2.5 million. The homicide charge is expected soon. The medical examiner's report is the last major holdout. Prosecutors are tight-lipped but determined. They've made public promises. Now they need to follow through. There's also growing pressure on the DA's office to review its procedures for handling dropped cases involving serious violence, especially when those cases include violence or video evidence. The Craster administration has already admitted fault here, but admissions aren't change. Policy is. So fucking do it. And beyond the legal process, there's a call for broader awareness. Community members are organizing around missing women, around system accountability, around the kind of victim-centered lens that doesn't wait until a body is found to take someone seriously. Because the truth is, Kata Scott's story isn't just her own. It's every woman who has been followed and not believed. Every person who said, someone is watching me, and was told, well, nothing happened yet. Every family that has been forced to solve a case while grieving it in real time. This case is still developing. There will be more charges, possibly more arrests, definitely more details. And we will continue to follow every step. But for now, what we know is this. A young woman is gone, the signs were there, and the system once again didn't move fast enough. Let this be a turning point. Not just for Kata's case, but for every case like it. Because if we're going to say never again, we have to mean it before it's too late. And this time it was. Your thoughts in the comments section. Let me know your thoughts. YouTube is the place to do that. Just search Hidden Killers of Tony Bruschi and you will find us. You can make that same search wherever you get podcasts and you will find us there. Please do hit subscribe as we continue to follow this case and the many that we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.